ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। From Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 3, entitled Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal. Verses from 2 to number 10, I will read first the translation, Sanskrit translation, and then we will sing verses 9 and 10. I will just read the translations before, not the Sanskrit. In the valley of Mandara Hill, Hiranyakashipu began performing his austerities by standing with his toes on the ground, keeping his arms upward and looking toward the sky. This position was extremely difficult, but he accepted it as a means to attain perfection. From the hair on Hiranyakashipu's head, there emanated an effulgent light as brilliant and intolerable as the rays of the sun at the time of dissolution. Seeing the performance of such austere penances, the demigods, who had been wandering throughout the planets, now returned to their respective homes. Because of Hiranyakashipu's severe austerities, fire came from his head, and this fire and its smoke spread throughout the sky, encompassing the upper and lower planets, which all became extremely hot. Because of the power of his severe austerities, all the rivers and oceans were agitated. The surface of the globe, with its mountains and islands, began trembling, and the stars and planets fell. All the directions were ablaze. Scorched and extremely disturbed because of Hiranyakashipu's severe penances, all the demigods left the planets where they reside and went to the planet of Lord Brahma, where they informed the Creator as follows. O Lord of the demigods, O Master of the universe, because of the fire emanating from Hiranyakashipu's head as a result of his severe austerities, we have become so disturbed that we could not stay in our planets, but have come to you. O great person, chief of the universe, if you think it proper, kindly stop these disturbances meant to destroy everything before all your obedient subjects are annihilated. Hiranyakashipu has undertaken a most severe type of austerity. Although his plan is not unknown to you, kindly listen as we submit his intentions. Śrītsvācarācaranmīdam tapo-yoga-samādhinā adhyāste sarvadiṣṇebhyā paramiṣṭhi-nijāsanam tadaham vardhamānena tapo-yoga-samādhinā kalatmanoścha nityatvat sadayishye tatatmanah Shri Chava creating. The Supreme Person within this universe, Lord Brahma, has gotten his exalted post by dint of severe austerities, mystic power and trance. Consequently, after creating the universe, he has become the most worshipable demigod within it. Since I am eternal and time is eternal, I shall endeavor for such austerity, mystic power and trance for many, many births, and thus I shall occupy the same post occupied by Lord Brahma. Purport. Yakashipu's determination was to occupy the post of Lord Brahma, but this was impossible because Brahma has a long duration of life, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8:17, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Haryat Brahmano Vidu. 1,000 yugas equals one day of Brahma. The duration of Brahma's life is extremely great, and consequently, it was impossible for Hiranyakashipu to occupy that post. Nonetheless, his decision was that since the Self, Atma, and time are both eternal, if he could not occupy that post in one lifetime, he will continue to execute austerities life after life, so that sometime he will be able to do so. It is my privilege to be here in this most exalted assembly of Vaishnavas. It was my misfortune that I didn't come before. I came to India 10 times, and this is my first time to this wonderful temple of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And actually, I pray that it will not be my last time. It's my first, but hopefully not the last time. And hopefully the next time will be longer than this time. This is a very important chapter, even if it seems, okay, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal seems like it's a bad chapter, because Hiranyakashipu is a bad fellow, we could say. In one way it is, yes, he is a great demon, but actually we should remember what is described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that actually he is an eternal associate of the Lord, Jai Vijay, Jai. So he's always victorious. And he was sent by the Lord in order to perform his lila. The Lord wanted to fight with his devotees. And because in Vaikuntha, it is very difficult to fight properly, because the devotees are very much, are too respectful. So then the Lord made this arrangement. And then when the Lord makes a particular arrangement, he accomplishes many things at the same time. So here also this chapter is teaching us, especially it is very relevant for Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga we find a mixture. Sometimes we share this description that the devotee and the demon live within the same soul, so to say. There is a struggle. And even we see many times how even in ordinary books and films, we see sometimes the angel is there talking to the person and the demon talking and pushing in one direction and the other direction. This is the situation in this material world. So here this description is given, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal, and this is what modern civilization, the majority of people, is doing, making plans to become immortal. Also the jnanis, the yogis, also try to become immortal. This is here in India, there is a very, very ancient tradition of great jnanis and yogis, the tradition of sadhus. And what they are looking for? They are looking for moksha, moksha kami, looking for liberation from material existence. It is interesting that the word, the line, tapo yoga samadhina, is repeated twice. Tapo yoga samadhina. Hiranyakashipu, he was performing this tapo yoga samadhina. austerity. Yoga is translated as mystic power, or yoga also means union with God. But for jnanis, and even yogis who are not devotees, it is not clear what it means. Yoga may mean also desire for mystic power. And samadhi, fixed mind. But this tapo yoga samadhi was of a different quality than the tapo yoga samadhi of the devotees. And that's why I was saying this is a very important chapter. We like to compare the two approaches, the approaches of non-devotees towards life, towards attaining immortality, and performing austerity, and concentrating their minds, and that of the devotees who try to, not just try, but they do it, who perform devotional service to please the Lord. Their endeavors are meant to satisfy the Lord and the devotees. It is interesting that the word also tapa. Tapa means austerity. It also means suffering. The material world is named tapatraya, the place where there are three types of suffering. Three types of, we could say austerities, because it is an austerity. It is a bad austerity. It is a foolish austerity to try to live in the material world when we belong to the transcendental world, where, as Brahma Samhita describes, every step is a dance, like we just experienced in the kirtan. Every step is a dance. Every word is a song. Water is nectar. Very different. Here, you have to be careful what you drink, especially for Westerners when we come to India, because this is the material world. But in the spiritual world, there are not such worries. So still, the tendency is to, for the soul, there is this self-destructive tendency to enjoy the material world. But actually, that enjoyment, as Srila Prabhupada explains in many of his purports, is like a coin with two sides. So yes, there is enjoyment, but then there is also suffering. Sukha dukkha. Happiness and distress. Yesterday, Prajavihari Prabhu explained very nicely how the austerities of the devotees and the austerities of the demons look the same, but actually are different. The quality is different. We see that there are actually many differences between them. Like, for instance, the demons try to occupy the post of the Lord. Like Hiranyakashipu, in the previous chapter, he gave a very good speech. He was speaking philosophy, the philosophy of life. We could say Atma Tattva. Still, his intention was wrong. The main difference is the motivation. The devotees have the motivation to please the Lord, as we were mentioning before. Demons have the motivation to occupy the post of the Lord. Still, in Kali Yuga, until we become pure devotees, we experience these motivations, this mix of motivations. And this is something important to keep in mind. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why Srila Vyasadeva and Narada Muni and all the great personalities who are speaking in the Bhagavatam, why they took the trouble to describe, to talk about Hiranyakashipu's activities. Otherwise, what is the point of listening about that? It seems like a satsanga, like Hiranyakashipu, who is that fellow? He's there performing austerities to become God. It's someone not to associate with. But in order to point out that these mixtures are there, and so that we can see the difference, these descriptions are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is interesting in the first of the two verses, the word mentioned there, Shri Tsva, referring to creation, creating. And this is another characteristic of non-devotees or people with asuric inclinations, that they seek creation in a different way than the devotees. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes sarga and visarga, primary creation and secondary creation. And whenever discusses secondary creation, always refers to primary creation. Always refers to the Lord, who is giving power to Lord Brahma in order to create the universe. Non-devotees, they don't see properly, and therefore here, Hiranyakashipu, he was seeing Lord Brahma as the creator. He didn't see that actually there is someone who is giving the power to Lord Brahma. He didn't see, like, he didn't listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore he was not able to learn, like we learn in the second canto, that Lord Brahma said that actually there is someone higher than me. When Narada Muni approached him asking, you seem to be supreme, but yet you are engaged in penance, you are engaged in meditation. Why this is so? And then Lord Brahma responded that the reason was that actually I am no one, I am nothing. The power is coming from the Lord. The Lord is doing, he is the real doer. I am just performing the service as it has been given to me. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we also find a chapter entitled, it is the prayers by Lord Brahma for the creative energy. And Lord Brahma is praying to the Lord to perform, be able to receive empowerment to perform his service, and be able to avoid pride, because pride will mean that he will not be able to perform his service properly. Pride is like a demon that always, we have the six enemies coming, pride is one of them, and is always there coming, telling us, you are very good, you are doing it very well. And pushing us to this, keeping away from the Lord, away from the shelter of the Lord and the devotees. So, Hiranyakashipu didn't see this, and he thought, okay, Brahma seems to be supreme, so I worship him, and then I will ask something. Actually, his mentality was to overcome him. So worship Brahma to become better than him. This is the Asuric mentality. We find also in the 10th canto the description of Vrika, that demon that was worshipping Lord Shiva. And remember the story? He wanted to a foolish benediction, actually. No benefit for anybody, not even himself, what he was asking for. This is a Asuric mentality. No one benefits from the boons that Asuras pray for or practice austerity for. He was worshipping Lord Shiva, She wanted to have the darshan of Lord Shiva, to the point that even she was cutting his own flesh and offering his oblations into the fire. And at the end, there is a picture where he sees he was about to cut his neck. And then Lord Shiva appeared. He said, okay, it's okay. No need to go so far. And then he said, okay, I'm pleased by your endeavors. What boon do you want? I will give it to you. What do you want? And then he asked, I want that whoever I touch his head with my hand, that head will explode in 1,000 pieces. Then, as you know, he went after Lord Shiva running to experience when Lord Shiva granted him the benediction. He wanted to test the boon with the person who had given him the boon. So that shows also another of the Asuric qualities, ungratefulness. So much, receiving so much, but then misusing it and not even thanking the person who is giving the offering or the boon. The Lord always protects his devotees, and as Lord Shiva is the, of course this is a lila, and Lord Shiva could have done something, but the Lord wanted to show his relationship with Lord Shiva and his supremacy. And the Lord appeared when Vrika was chasing Lord Shiva. The Lord appeared as a Brahmana boy, and by his mystic power stopped Vrika and said, well, what happened? What's happening? Why you run so fast? What's the problem? Vrika Asura said, I have received a boon from Lord Shiva, and I want to test if this boon is real. He said, boon? Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva, he cheats many people. He's always, do you believe what he says? That he's always in the crematorium and living a very strange life. Oh, you can't believe what he told you. What did he tell you? And Vrika said, well, he told me that whoever touched the head, that head will explode in 1,000 pieces, and that's the boon I asked for. And he said, come on, are you kidding? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? And he said, it is not true. You can just touch your head and you will see how this doesn't happen. It's ridiculous. And because the Lord, he's with his Maya potency, he bewildered Vrika. Normally, he wouldn't have done that. But he was convinced by the Lord. He touched his head and he was gone. It was history. So, like that, there are many examples of asuras who worship demigods for material benefits. And then they find destruction. Conversely, the devotees of the Lord, they perform another type of tapa. Tapa, in the second canto, we find a description how these were the first instructions received by Lord Brahma in the beginning of creation. Tapa, tapa. This was instruction, perform austerity. After searching for the Lord, searching the source for many, many years. And later on, when the Lord revealed himself to Lord Brahma, he told him, Tapome Ridayam Sakshat, this penance, this service, this austerity for my, this spiritual endeavor for my satisfaction is my life and soul, and it is non-different from myself. So when tapa is performed to please the Lord and to please His servants, then austerity becomes, it is real. Then it is real austerity. This is real endeavor. This is proper endeavor. Narada Muni explains also in the Srimad Bhagavatam how this is the real reason we should endeavor for something that cannot be attained in this material world. Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido nalabhyate yat brahmatam upariyada tallabhate dukkavat anjate sukam karena sarvatra gabira samhasa. That actually there is no need to endeavor for anything else. And for that purposeful end that is beyond this material world. Upariyada, something that cannot be achieved, going to the highest planet from the top to the bottom. So therefore, Hiranyakasipu's endeavors were futile, were actually useless, imitation. Like we see here, we have also a part of the tradition. I don't know how old, I don't think it's very old tradition, but in India, we see part of the tradition is to fly kites. And I was seeing yesterday from my window so many kites flying. And when you look, it looks like a bird. Sometimes, they do, and it's like that. So it's like a bird. But then when you look, you can see it's an imitation bird. It is not a real bird. It's incomplete. So similarly, the austerities of performed by Hiranyakasipu or by whoever follows in his footsteps, these austerities are not real. Don't produce any gain. No gain. And then Narada Muni, in the second part of the verse quoted, he says that, like answering the question someone could ask, but then what about if I don't endeavor for things of this world, what will happen with all my needs? Many times we hear about the What about my needs? The needs of my family, the needs of my country, the needs of my people. What will happen with material happiness? We need to do something to attain material happiness. And then Narada Muni answers that as far as material happiness is concerned, there is no need to endeavor because it is going to come anyway. In the same way that we suffer, although we do not search for suffering. So if suffering comes without searching it, then why not? Happiness will come also without searching it. And actually this is, we have practical experience. Many times devotees, they surrender to their lives to the Lord in different ways, and then they also experience it. For instance, travel all over the world. Many times they don't have a penny, they don't have money, but they do travel all over the world. This is an example of how material happiness. It's a so-called happiness, the happiness of traveling. So that happiness, if it has to come, it comes anyway. If it doesn't have to come, it will not come. So there is no need to endeavor. Why waste energy in looking for something that will not come or something that will come anyway? It doesn't make sense. It's about investment. There are many businesses. We find also in In India, it's very common. People invest. Many good businessmen that come to the West. Indians and Jews are the best businessmen. And in the West, you find that. And it is a bad investment. Very bad investment of energy. They will not invest. They invest in a business that will produce results. So why should we invest? We have this valuable human energy. Why should we invest in something that is fruitless? It is better to endeavor for something that it is not achievable in this world. Something that will please the Lord. Something that will situate us in our real condition of life, in a healthy condition of life. And actually, Srila Prabhupada established this Krishna consciousness movement on the basis of this principle, the principle of abandoning everything for the Lord, knowing that there is no loss. Like we find the verse, Yakvasva dharman charanam bujam hare payan apakvota patitato yadi yatakva bhavadram abutamushyakim kovarta hapto bhajataksva dharmata. Also Narada Muni is explaining that it is actually the continuation of the verse quoted before. He's explaining that if a person abandons everything in order to serve the Lord, even if that devotee, that sadhaka doesn't attain success immediately, there is no loss. And actually, the success is guaranteed. She's going to achieve success. And we find many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Ajamil, Bharat Maharaj, Maharaj Chitraketu. All of them didn't achieve success immediately, but it was guaranteed. And they were not fearful. In the next life, they could continue wherever they left. Maharaj Chitraketu, he was very satisfied with his service. And even when she was cursed to take birth in a demonic family, she was confident that the Lord will protect him. And she said, okay, I committed an offense. I take the curse. And then in next life, she was able to remember the Lord, even as a demon. So that's the glory of devotional service. The devotional service guarantees success. And Srila Prabhupada established the movement on that basis. Sometimes we may criticize some of us, more fault finders. We may consider, why did he give sannyas to young people that they will not be able to maintain? Of course, they will not. No one will say like that, but sometimes, because no one wants to criticize Prabhupada. But the implied meaning when we criticize sometimes the fact that Prabhupada did so, may mean that indirectly we are criticizing Srila Prabhupada. So we could question, this was not good. But Srila Prabhupada, on that basis of that verse, she established the Krishna consciousness movement, and because of that action, that faith on the words of Narada Muni, the Krishna consciousness movement is all over the world. Otherwise, probably it won't be there, because Srila Prabhupada knew that there is very short time, so I need to empower people, even if they are not qualified, I will empower them, and some of them will make it, and then certainly there will be success. There will be no loss. And there will be success for all of those who will receive the message. So there are, thank you very much. There are 5 minutes, so if you like to make comments or ask questions.
As you're a preacher, do you think there's enough points of similarity in this verse to use it to catch the attention of people who are concerned about global warming? Because this is almost like the original global warming.
Oh, very good, very good analogy. Yes, Hiranyakashipu created global warming, and the culture that follows Hiranyakashipu's approach creates global warming also. Yes, it's. That's what you mean?
Yeah, that kind of, you know, but could it be developed, you know, as a, you know, just like a class kind of thing on that? I'm not so familiar, you know, either way, with the science part of it or the Shastric part. But this is, you know, because the devastation is by flooding, you know, but this is a specific reference to, you know, the heat.
Mm. Another meaning of the word, actually the word tapas means heat.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So tapatraya... Or also, like Srila Prabhupada compares material advancement to the mystic powers attained by the yogis in Nectar of Devotion. This is there. So this is similar. By the mystic powers, by technological advancement, heat is created also. Mm-hmm. And somehow also it is the result of previous activities. Otherwise, they won't be able to develop these mystic powers. So there was some good karma. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita the comparison that this good karma, bad karma, this is like a stool. Wet stool, dry stool, it's not really makes much difference. So, due to some good karma, they attain a material development, material advancement. But unfortunately, such advancement is being misused. Also, Dhruva Maharaj, he stopped the universe, not by heat, but the demigods couldn't continue breathing. It was very difficult to breathe due to the austerities of Dhruva Maharaj. But because his motivation was different, therefore the result was good for everyone. The Lord appeared and it was a complete different scenario. One last question or comment?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, sometimes I read the books on the management. So you said we should not endeavor for the material happiness, but we do. I read books sometime on based on management and time management. So is it a wastage of time? I mean, we can read Srila Prabhupada books in those time, but sometime I read those books. So what would you think on that? Should we continue with to doing that? Or
If you read management books in order to learn to manage for Krishna, that's very good. That's excellent. Like we find also in Srimad Bhagavatam, the description is given that we should, in this world, we are born to perform actions. Without action, this is also in Bhagavad Gita, we cannot even live. We need to act. So the best action is to perform our prescribed duties for the satisfaction of the Lord. Atak pumbir duya shrishta parnashrama vibhagasya svanustitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. Haritoshanam, the satisfaction of the Lord is the perfection of our actions. So it is good to learn how to manage, and especially how to manage time, because actually if we want to become pure devotees, Bhava Bhaktas, one of the characteristics of Bhava Bhakti is that we should engage all the time in Krishna service. So it is very good to learn to manage the time in order to perform more service and to perform your duties for Krishna nicely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.